Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Welcome to Simple Facts of Life Radio, where as we get ready to celebrate the 244th anniversary of our nation's independence, we need to remember that our national liberty was enacted for the purpose of ensuring that our citizens would enjoy personal liberty. We also have to remember that personal liberty can't survive without personal responsibility and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, the Chief, coming to you from a somewhat safe distance from downtown Portland in my hidden bunker in an undisclosed location. If you would like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Well, just about coming up a few days on Saturday is the 4th of July, and 244 years of our country, and wow. You know, I'm just thinking about that and the way time goes by because, well, when you get old like I've been spending my whole life doing, the time, 244 years, because I remember just like yesterday when we were celebrating our bicentennial, had all these little kind of the first commemorative quarters that we had, and that was 44 years ago, and I'm getting old, and it just occurs to me that, well, something that occurred, just speaking of getting old, something didn't even occur to me until this morning, but today is a special day for me in the process of becoming really old because exactly 25 years ago today, I joined the Fleet Reserve, thereby ending my active duty stint in the United States Navy. Yes, it's been 25 years, but I still call myself Chief because there it is. That's how old I am. And although most people wouldn't think about it, when you retire from the Navy, it doesn't necessarily have that much to do with when you go in the Navy, at least as far as the date goes, because you just kind of pick a date once you've got the required amount of time in. Say, okay, I want to, you know, go to the Fleet Reserve on this date. But just by coincidence, tomorrow is the 48th anniversary of the day when I first enlisted in the Navy. 23 years to the day after I first went in is when I got out, although I didn't do 23 active. I took about a year and a half broken service, but nonetheless, yes, time marches on. get old. Don't have a whole lot of notes today because just some of the didn't do too well this morning as far as physical. Just one of those old, getting old things. But, you know, feeling a little better now. And, well, the mere prospect of imminent death is not enough to keep me from taking this opportunity to, you know, talk to you. I like to say hi to Crazy Cajun, another old former chief, but he was, of course, among the knee-deeps in the Coast Guard, and he was spent his bicentennial escorting the tall ships into New York Harbor. I didn't know they got that all the way out into the harbor, eh? That's pretty impressive. Nah. I actually, most of us in the Navy, we make jokes, but we have a lot of respect for the Coast Guard because some of those guys, especially the guys out on the boat stations, those guys are crazy. They do things, take risks that no normal human being would do. So, I mean, we have a lot of respect for the Coast Guard and the other service, except for the Air Force. Nobody in the other services respects the Air Force, although the pilots, you know. But nonetheless, like I said, I didn't have a lot of notes today because I really didn't need a lot. Because here on this show, well, I get into certain traditions, things I like to talk about certain times of the year. The show just before April 22nd, Earth Day, I like to talk about the environmental movement and how all the wonderful things they did in the 60s and 70s been totally co-opted by the money-grubbing climate alarmists. Coming up on Independence Day, I tend to talk about independence and dependence. Not really having to do with our history, but people being dependent. And the reason this started was because, on July 3rd, 2013, I posted something on my written blog. There is a link to it in the show description. And, well, people I know liked what I had to say in that article and said I should just use that as the, you know, read that as the script for my radio show, which is something I'd planned to do. But for some reason on that day, I had something else I wanted to talk about and have gotten to it. But I mention it from time to time. I wrote an article called "I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up." And I'm just basically going to, as I've done before, you know, every couple of years around this time of year, I'm just going to sort of read it to you. It is maybe a little bit dated, but most of the stuff I wrote back then has a tendency to just be very general, and is valid. Most of it's as valid as it was the day I wrote it. So the title is "I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up." And I start out with, "Many of you may recognize the title of this post from a television commercial from the late 80s by an outfit named Life Call. While it depicted a serious situation, an elderly woman in desperate need of assistance, the acting was so bad that it was seen as humorous by almost everyone and became the punchline of more jokes than any of us could count. But in recent years, it has become less of a joke and more of an attitude for too many Americans. Like Mrs. Fletcher, the woman in the commercial, many of us feel that we are helpless, our situation is beyond our control, and we need to have one of those magic buttons that will alert a voice on the other end to tell us that help is on the way. I've lost my job, and I can't find another one. My rent is due, and the landlord is pounding on my door. My kids are hungry, and I blew all the grocery money on lottery tickets. And, of course, the reassuring words coming from the mystical pendant will be from the voice of government. And, you know, believe it or not, I'm perfectly fine with that. Helping Americans, and I emphasize Americans, in need is a legitimate function of our government. However, simple fact of life number one, the government can't and shouldn't try to take care of every problem for every citizen. It appears that in more cases than there should be, people aren't interested in having someone help them get back on their feet. It's like they expect to be catered to right there on the bathroom floor where they landed on their backs next to Mrs. Fletcher after slipping in the shower. Lost your job? How about endless unemployment benefits? Can't afford your house payment? We can force the bank to refinance your loan, even if they have to take a loss. Frittered away your grocery money? I'm sure we can increase your food stamps. Too many folks claim to want a leg up, but they always seem to ask for it with their hand out. They seem to have convinced themselves that they've fallen and they can't get up. I can't say it any better than my favorite of our nation's founders, and in my opinion, one of the greatest minds this continent has ever produced. I'm talking about Benjamin Franklin. He said, I quote, "I'm for doing good to the poor, but I think that the best way of doing good to the poor is not making them easy in poverty, but leading or driving them out of it. I observed that the more public provisions were made for the poor, the less they provided for themselves, and, of course, became poorer. And, on the contrary, the less was done for them, the more they did for themselves and became richer." That's what Benjamin Franklin said. Now, I don't like to see Americans living in poverty. I'm not completely heartless. And, after all, simple fact of life number two, being poor isn't pleasant, and it shouldn't be. As Ben observed, when we attempt to take care of the poor without requiring personal responsibility, the end result will be that we have increased their poverty and therefore their misery. I know this may sound harsh, but if we regard poverty as a cancer in our society, and we need to treat it like cancer. Cancer treatment usually involves surgery. Surgery is no fun. Surgery is painful. Surgery requires a long period of uncomfortable recovery. But as bad as having an operation is, not having it will be much worse. It's not that I want people to have the opportunity to suffer. I want them to have the opportunity to thrive. But that takes a determined desire to be successful. Okay, so now I sound like one of those greedy rich folks who just want to take stuff from the poor so we can have it all for ourselves. You know, I really wish that were the case. But alas, I'm not a member of the evil 1% or the 5% or the 10%. Well, at the time I wrote this, at least I was maintaining my status in the 50% of the tax-paying population. So, in the immortal words of Joe Walsh, I can't complain, but sometimes I still do. But it's not about me or my economic situation. It's about simple fact of life number three. Declining to take something from someone who has rightfully earned it is not giving them anything. And simple fact of life number four, declining to give something to someone who has not rightfully earned it is not taking anything away from them. Now, Jesus said, love thy neighbor. I'm not a religious person, but I certainly think that the man from Nazareth got that one right. But I also think that tough love is often the best love. We can help Mrs. Fletcher to her feet, but if we carry her on our backs for too long, she won't recover her strength, and eventually our legs will buckle under the excess weight. Then we'll all be pushing our life call buttons, but there won't be anyone left to send help. Well, I'm getting tired about just complaining about stuff, so how about I toss in a few ideas for solutions out there for your consideration? I may even have some good news for you big government fans, since my ideas would require government programs and bureaucrats to administer them. However, I do believe that the FBIR, that's the Federal Bureau of Idiotic Regulations, they currently have more than adequate staffing to handle anything that I could come up with. And I, not being a religious person, think that a little social Darwinism, survival of the fittest, will strengthen our nation as a whole. My ideas are intended to, by incentive and or coercion, as Franklin said, lead or drive people out of poverty. Okay. First off, unemployment benefits. That's what I wrote. It's rough to lose one's job in the face of uncertain times ahead. I've been there, as have most of us, at some point. Fortunately, the government administers programs that were designed to give us some security while we were struggling to get back on our feet. But those programs should be safety nets, just something to break our fall, a little painful to land in, very uncomfortable to lay in for any length of time, and something we would want to climb out of as quickly as humanly possible. Unfortunately, some compassionate types seem to have outfitted the net with an overstuffed mattress, some really fluffy pillows, and a very soft and warm blanket. Not to mention a fully stocked refrigerator and a big screen TV. Too many people seem to look at how many weeks of unemployment checks they have left and view any extension of benefits as an extension of the time they have left before they need to start looking for a job. So, how about this? Full unemployment benefits, based on a percentage of previous income, should be paid for a very short time, say 3 months. After that, payments will gradually decrease, say by 10% a month. If you don't find work soon, things will become very uncomfortable very quickly. If you can't work it out in time, then you go on the dole at a bare, and I do mean bare, maintenance level. I'll have more on that later. But here's the kicker. You can continue to receive most or all of the money that you would be entitled to if you find and take a lower paying job. You get your unemployment check on the decreasing scale up to the point where your pay plus benefits equals the previous income on which the benefits were based. This way, it will never be less financially advantageous to work than to not work. A second point I made, housing. Every American should have a safe, sanitary place in which to live. I've been to countries where most of the population exists in conditions that no American would or should find tolerable. But a residence that has all the comforts of home is something that needs to be earned to be appreciated. If your government housing is too comfortable, you might just be satisfied with something less than you could have. So, all housing assistance should be in kind. That is, all rent subsidies will be paid directly to the landlord. No cash for the tenant. Government-assisted housing should be Spartan. It should be seen cramped, simply furnished, and drab. Depending on the percentage of rent that's subsidized, the amount of luxury items should be limited. For instance, if the government is paying 100% of the rent, no more than one rather small TV should be allowed in the residence. Housing units must be subject to frequent inspections to ensure that the rules are being followed. We have to know how our money is being spent. Now, I don't really want people to live like that. I want them to do better for themselves. Final point I brought up was nutrition assistance. SNAP, food stamps. I wrote, no American should be allowed to starve. But you know, a little hunger is a great motivator. If the difference between a good meal and yet another bowl of oatmeal is taking that job that you used to think was below you, you'll do the right thing. So, we need to completely rework the way in which we provide nutrition assistance. No, you can't use your food stamps for KFC, fast food, that sort of thing. Now, I like fast food as much as anybody, but I pay for it myself with money that I earned. So, the program, as it exists, needs to go away. It should be replaced with an in-kind system. Rather than give people a cash equivalent that they can use to buy whatever foodstuffs they like, give them vouchers for specific food items. These vouchers could only be redeemed at certified stores that have contracts with the Agriculture Department or whatever agency administers the new program. Beneficiaries would shop online at home or at a kiosk somewhere and see what items are available. they would have choices, but choices of low-cost, nutritious foods. You can use your food stamps to buy fish sticks, no lobster. Ground round, yes. Filet mignon, no. Anjou pears, yes. Asian pears, no. Vouchers would be for 1 week's supply of food and would have to be redeemed in that time frame. You can only get a certain amount of various categories of food. You couldn't get only meat or only bread. You would be forced to get a balanced diet. I realize that there would still be some fraud. Some people would want to sell their grapes to buy wine. But at least let's not make it too easy for them. And if you like Asian pears, I like Asian pears, you can have all you want when you've worked yourself off the program. Or you can just go to KFC. These are just a few suggestions. You're smarter than I am. Come up with some better ones. And I concluded the article by saying, it was a pleasure to help you back to your feet, Mrs. Fletcher. Time to start walking on your own. And that's what I wrote. I put a link to that. If you liked it or didn't like it, you can go to the link at the bottom of the show notes, read it, print it out, throw darts at it, use it for kindling. But that's it. And, you know, like I said, I didn't have a lot of notes today, but strangely enough, I have managed to get through the entire half hour almost. So I want to thank New Orleans Wake Up. He joined us here. And let me see, what did he have to say? We have to eliminate cycles of poverty and hopelessness. Well, that's kind of what I said. Yeah. A lot of people don't like Warren, Brother Warren, but, you know, we have different experiences, disagree on a lot of things, but interestingly enough, I kind of agree with a lot of things he wrote in the chat room here. Other than he said we need a guaranteed... yeah, okay. Well, I am about out of time. So, thank you. And Crazy Cajun was here. He left. Maybe he's going off. Maybe I bored him. Or maybe he's going off. Got Tap Into the Truth coming up in an hour and a half from now. And I am about out of time. So, speaking of independence, used to serve on the USS Independence with a guy who later, after our time together, he made chief, and he writes some music, and I like to play some of it here now and then. So I'll close out with a little Eddie Walker Jr., Every Shade of Navy Blue.
Out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. Way, way, thinking about her, thinking now about being home with lovely. Since he can't be there. Thinking about her, yeah, it's all so true. Sad part is every shade of blue. His life